I'm Jim Burris.
And I'm Rose Scott. Today is April 4th.
I drove him to the airport in Atlanta to go to Memphis. We had spent that day earlier in their house, Coretta and Martin's house, and we were singing and having fun and had dinner. It was just a fun afternoon. When the evening was over, well, they had asked me to drive him to the airport the next day. So I went home, and Mrs. Mama King, we called her, called me about 11 o'clock that night and said, we had such a good day today, and I know you're driving ML to the airport tomorrow. Would you do something for me? And I said, of course, what is it? She said, would you tell him while you have his ear that although I'm his mother and I'm understanding all the time of his demands on his schedule, but I'd like to have a few more of the days like we had today. So will you ask him to see if he could include in his schedule a few more of those days? And I said, I promise. Well, when we got in the car and we were talking about several things, I told him the story. And so I said, so I promised her I'd get on you about your schedule. He said, okay, well, help me do it. So you'll keep my schedule where we can spend more time doing that, because he enjoyed it too. Now, what was interesting is the day he was killed, April 4th, he never called his mother, but I think we all take mothers, for granted, because they're going to be there. And that's what she said. I'm here all the time, but I'm getting a little selfish. And that day, he hadn't done that ever. He called her about 4:30 Atlanta time. And so once we got the calculation of when he was killed, she was among the last he talked to. And she just valued that so highly that she said to me when I went over to see them that night, because I was making the rounds, she said, I'll always thank you for this. She said, because from the schedule we've gotten, I was one of the last persons he talked to. And I'll carry that to my grave, that she was one of the last persons. So I feel very good that I at least put it on his mind, and he won't come back to meet. But they had a meeting. A meeting is spirit. So that was a pretty special moment. Mm-hmm.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite and Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee, Dan Rather in New York.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man seen running from the scene.
Could you lower those signs, please? I have some very sad news for all of you, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Martin Luther King dedicated his life to love and to justice between fellow human beings. He died in the cause of that effort. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it's perhaps well to ask what kind of a nation we are and what direction we want to move in.
A lot of times when I'm in spots where my father has been, I say it's the Holy Spirit, but something overtakes me in that moment. And it's happened in different places. I mean, I was, and even though I wasn't speaking this time, I went to Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee. And I went into the pulpit where he made his last speech. And they have a little step that you go up on because the pulpit is so high. When I came down off of that, I literally stumbled, just like my father did when he spoke. and the people that were with me were like, wow, And I didn't even know it consciously at the time. And when it was brought to my attention, I was like, wow, I do now remember that I did that. And yeah, he did do that. Because if you look at the speech, you will see him kind of almost like look like he's going to fall or something. And it wasn't really coming off of the thing. It was really when he was getting ready to sit in the chair.
Okay.
And I was getting ready to sit in the same chair and had a similar gesture happen to me. And the bishop, Bishop Gilbert Patterson, who's now deceased, was there at the time when I visited. He's the one that allowed me to come in and see the place because I had never seen it before. And this was somewhere around 2000, 2001. And he happened to be there the night that my father delivered his last speech. So it's just all very eerie and interesting.
And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Is gone. He's just gone. How many times I must have repeated that to myself over and over again.
It was like the saying of it could somehow confirm this surreal new reality.
Times when I would open my eyes with a joyous expectation of Martin being there, then it would hit me like a cold chill. He was not there, and he was never going to be there again. Never. I had to let him go. There's nothing like finality, the presence of an absolute absence.
Precious Lord. And leave me home.
Voices from the past and present. You heard legendary journalist and pioneer Zenona Clayton talking about the day she drove Dr. King to the airport on April 3rd. Walter Cronkite announcing the death of Dr. King. Also Robert Kennedy delivering the news of King's death. Kennedy was in Indianapolis at the time on a campaign stop. And Bernice King reflecting about standing in a place where her father stood as he gave his final speech. And readings from My Love, My Life, My Love, My Legacy by Coretta Scott King as told to the Reverend Dr. Barbara Reynolds. A special thanks to our public broadcasting colleagues, Andrea Trammell, Taisha Hardy, and Chilla Watts for those readings.
On this day 49 years ago, an assassin's bullet claimed Dr. King's life. The Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Site is holding its annual King Remembrance Day event. That's where Rebecca Karcher was this morning. She's the Chief of Interpretation, Education, and Cultural Resource Management at the National Park Service's Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Site. WAB's Tasneem Shama spoke to Karcher about this day of remembrance.
Today we'll be honoring
his life and legacy by having open house tours through the birth home from 10 to 12 and from 2 to 4. And it's going to be a silent open house where people will walk through the house silently so they can reflect and pay homage to this great man. And as you see, people are already lining up outside to go into the house. Also, in our visitor center, we'll be showing a movie, a 15-minute movie that'll focus on the life and legacy of Dr. King and the assassination with first-person accounts of those who were alive during the time, like when he was assassinated, like Coretta Scott King and some of his close associates. And then at 2:30 this afternoon, we'll be having a ceremony at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where we're going to raise a wreath outside the church to commemorate his passing. And we'll take the wreath down on April 9th, because after Dr. King's assassination on April 4th, 1968, he was brought home to Atlanta, and then his funeral would have been on April 9th.
What is the significance of the home?
Well, this is the birth home. This is the house that he was born in. He was born on the second floor, and people love to see the birth home. They feel connected to him and connected to the man, and it's exceptionally popular with visitors. And the birth home represents his childhood, his upbringing, his family. And Dr. King always said he was, the neighborhood and the community that he was born in was a major impact on the man he would become and this great civil rights leader he would become.
What are some things that people can see as they go through the house?
Well, they see right now only the first floor is open. We're having an assessment on the second floor, and there's no work to be done on the second floor, and that'll be happening shortly. But through the first floor, they see the parlor of the birth home. They see, we tell stories like the piano. Dr. King took piano lessons as a little boy. He didn't really like taking piano, but his family kind of made him do it, and that was a lesson that you don't always get to. He learned from a young age, you don't always get what you want. You know, you have to sometimes do things even if you don't want to do it. And he did learn to play a few songs on the piano. And then we talk about the dining room. The dining room is one of my favorite places in the home, because his family would meet. They would gather every night to have dinner together in the family, and then in the dining room. And they would talk about the issues of the day and about civil rights and how to help people and how to help people in the community. Of course, his family was, there were preachers. You know, religion was very important to them. They would sit in the dining room table and talk about how they could spread the word of God and to help people. I'm glad to see so many people out here today to remember the life and legacy of this great man. And that's what we do every day. We talk about Dr. King's mission of peace and equality for everybody, for all Americans. So I'm just happy to see so many people out here today.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
WABE's Tasneem Shama there speaking to Rebecca Karcher from the National Park Service's Martin Luther King Jr. National Historic Site. The site is holding its annual King Remembrance Day to mark the assassination of the civil rights leader. That happened 49 years ago today.